Coors Banquet, brewed in the Rockies.
And we are live, motherfuckers.
Let's go.
So it is a big day. This is our first like part two, I think.
Yeah. Part two of what?
Yesterday.
Oh.
So yesterday we did like 20 minutes and it's because Mr. Frat Boy had previous plans.
No, I took a nap on accident at like 2 o'clock.
Cage just
shit.
He's a busy guy.
Yeah. So today we're joined by Rains. Rains, what's your last name?
I'll give an intro. Everyone,
give an intro.
Welcome. One of my dearest friends. One of my best friends will be in my wedding. Very much a higher up in the music industry at only 20 years old. Please welcome my dear friend, Rains Montgomery Edenfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
Half of what you just said was false, but maybe one
all of it was true.
Bro, you have like a dope ass name. What was your last name?
Thank you.
Edenfield.
Edenfield. So it's Rains Edenfield.
Fuck yeah, dude. You have like a Kennedy-esque name.
Thank you. I sure didn't come up with it, but I'll be sure to tell my mom you said that.
It's fucking royalty right there. You're going to be royalty.
Dude, he's music.
Of the music industry.
Maybe one day we'll make it.
Let's talk about that because I really don't know much about what you do. So what do you do in the music industry?
And also, can I ask some questions too? Because Cave has asked me to be on this thing. And like, I've listened to some other people for sure. You know, big fan of the Daniel Miller and the Joe Adams podcast.
Oh, fuck yeah. Thank you.
I have no idea what's really going on here. So like, you know, can you better yet give me a spiel of the goal of this podcast? And then if that's cool, we'll get into it.
Fuck yeah. So Icon to Even was started last year, December 23rd. And it was just me wanting to podcast, wanted to just broadcast. Had no
cool
goal after that. And then I think like 4 or 5 months in, I asked Cabe to be co-host because I had had him on a few times.
That was like July, dude, because I hadn't even moved into the house yet.
Yeah, it was probably like 7 months in then.
Yeah,
it was Cabe's recent. Because
I had been on probably 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And I'd always put a bug in his ear like, yo, yo.
He did. He's like, yo, we should do this together. Hey, man, I should be your co-host.
If there's one person to just fit a podcast, it'd be Cabe Wyatt out of all of my friends.
Thank you.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to like properly banter. And that's what you need in a podcast.
I mean, filibuster. You're just a banter man.
The filibuster.
Yeah. The new premise of the show is really just shoot the shit with cool people or talk about ideas or what have you.
Thank you for considering me cool. I'll even consider myself cool.
You're an idiot, dude. Give yourself some credit. God,
so I answered your question. Now you got to answer mine.
Super happy to be here. But
fuck yeah.
All right.
Our pleasure.
Well, it's my pleasure. My name, like I said, was Rains. Thank you for the kind words. But I am best buddies with Cabe. He's a close friend of mine. Me and Cabe met freshman year of college. We bonded over some scooters and when we had a class together. And It was a good time. It's kind of a long time ago if you think about it.
No, it's really not.
No, I think it's kind of. I mean, it's 2 years ago, but a lot has happened in those two years.
In some ways, it feels like it was an hour ago, and in some ways, it feels like a million years.
No, it feels like it was an hour ago. But I met Cabe. I came up to Tennessee to go to Middle Tennessee State to go to school to learn about music from like a business standpoint because Georgia didn't have any music business degrees. And I played golf in high school and that was like my thing I did, but I always enjoyed music and like played and I couldn't sing. I always wanted to sing and like do the artist thing or just like write songs. I always thought it was just the coolest thing in the world, but I could never do that. So it was like, well, what's the second best situation? And then a friend of mine showed me that there was an industry through production and through live shows, like behind the music that you hear on the radio. And I came up and that was just super interesting, you know, to be in high school and make somebody know more than you do about a thing that you really like. But I came to college and then met Kay, met a ton of people. I didn't know one person. I met my first friend, honestly, which is John Harvey, a good buddy of ours.
John David.
John David, shout out. At orientation.
Shout out.
Just shout out, yeah. But didn't know one person, but knew I just kind of wanted to go give life a try. I don't really, you know. I just knew I liked music, and music business sounded like a cool degree to tell your friends you were going to get, and then go and try it.
In fact, much cooler than what I studied. I studied philosophy
at the University of Anchorage.
I'm not gonna lie, I love philosophy and those type of like psychological thinking though. Like if I could go back and do it again, I've definitely said I would study like philosophy or some type of critical thinking.
Philosophy is one of those weird ones, because when you tell people like, yeah, I studied philosophy, they're like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, oh yeah, have you read it? And then they're like, well, I took an intro class, or like, you know, I'm like, okay, like, so you know a little bit. Mm-hmm. But until you read like Kierkegaard or David Hume, like your love or your curiosity about it, be like, yeah, mm-hmm. fuck that shit.
Maybe just a curiosity thing. I mean, true. I don't know. I've never gotten into it, but
it's not fun. I'll tell you that. there's a romance behind philosophy degrees, but it is not fun. If I could go back, honestly, I probably would have studied something like of the hard sciences,
really?
And minored in philosophy. Yeah.
Well, I was scared of studying anything, you know, super difficult. So music business sounded like a cool degree. Yeah.
And it is. So let's talk about that, because you're actually in the industry now, correct?
Balls deep in the industry right now.
Let's talk about that. What do you do? Who do you work for? What is your thing?
I currently have just gotten recently hired at a company called River House, doing A&R for them, which I can get into in a moment.
What's A&R?
A&R is artist and repertoire is what it dates back to be. But basically what it is listening to music and trying to bring the record label, publishing company, management company, full service, whatever, synchronization type company that you work for, trying to bring them the next artist or song or music that is currently doing good in the industry that has credible people following it. And you just honestly listen to music and you pitch whatever you think has the
pre-COVID
potential.
Pre-COVID, A&R was a lot of that, as well as more going to shows like every night.
A&R. Well, you got to think, before we lived in a digital age, which in reality we kind of do. You can put a song out on TikTok and have the number one song on iTunes within a couple weeks or within a certain time period, and you've never played a show to one person in your entire life, and then all of a sudden you're sitting atop the top 100 chart Billboard. And it's just kind of weird that that's the way it is, but it's all because today's market is digital. So I'm also I want to throw out that I got hired doing the A&R, and like I do other things, which I'll tell you about in just a second, but I haven't been doing it for a very long time. So what I'm telling you is more based on my opinion, but it's what I got. So don't.
That's dope. So you take it for right or wrong.
I'm figuring it out myself, but yes, I am a scout. So
yeah, that's dope, because then what that does is that, you know, you have a love and passion for music. And so basically you get paid to find good music and good artists
to listen to music. It's really fun, honestly.
How fucking dope is that?
It's super cool. It's very fun. Like,
sign me up. Where do I put my resume?
I don't know. It's really fun though. It's honestly, I don't even know how you get the job. I just kind of stumbled upon it, and it's something that I've really enjoyed learning more about and learning how to do. I've never done any type of like A&R scouting other than just liking music personally and pursuing working with it in some way. But so I most recently have started doing that for River House. And then I do management and any type of live management. I love production. I work for a production company on the side, doing like more office coordination and set up of shows and that sort of thing. Pre-COVID mostly. There hasn't been much stuff post-COVID, which kind of still sucks, but it is what it is.
Well, hopefully things will open up here in the next like 4 or 5 months.
I hope so.
But talking about your A&R position, have you like found anyone or discovered anyone that people listening to this podcast would know?
No, I've only had the job for, this is 2 months now, honestly. Yeah. I don't know how much information I can honestly disclose, but like we've had meetings with people I've pitched, and normally how like an A&R job works from what I know at Torque as is you scout people throughout the week, you write up reports. Like I compare certain amounts of data that I can find in certain places and honestly listen to music and just pick the best couple out of the week to present in meetings at a certain day of the week. And then, you know, you roll with it and you present whatever you have to the whole team. Everybody kind of talks about it. And then you roll forward with if anybody's, you know, somebody that the company would like to pursue or if not, which is totally cool. It's hard to find, you know, your next Morgan Wallen or Luke Combs every week, honestly, but that's the goal.
Yeah. And where, when you're looking for talent, where are you searching? Like right now, obviously you're not going to live shows. So are you going on like Bandcamp? Are you going to Spotify?
Honestly, it's all through DSPs, which is streaming, digital streaming platforms. It's all social media based. It's all digital. Like I said, like if people are you know,
really anywhere you could find music.
Essentially. Yeah. I don't have any more tools than you have. Honestly, it's just the putting in the time and listening to music with the purpose of like trying to find something that you can take and, you know, make better for the artist, make the situation they're in, whether you pitch them for a record label pitch, whether you pitch them for management or publishing, dependent upon, you know, what they're doing in the composition world, or how far along they're on or how far along they are on their artist journeys, you know, sometimes dependent on if they have management or where they are with any type of management deals. So no matter what you pitch them for, and every situation is different because every artist is necessarily not in the same situation. This is why
there is no textbook.
Yeah, there's no right way to do. There's ways that things are done normally and you know on a normal basis, but there's not one deal is never really the same as a second deal. And I could be wrong when I say that. Again.
No, you're definitely not.
But
wrong.
I don't.
Every situation
is normally a little different with what an artist has and what you're signing them for a purpose of doing. Whether, you know, it's just split different ways. Whether they have a co-publishing deal, it gets kind of weird. And that's what I'm kind of learning as I'm getting into it. And that's what I've really enjoyed being exposed to and kind of gaining as much knowledge upon as I could.
That's dope. So when you're writing up these papers and these reports on certain artists, you appeal to data. What kind of data are you looking for? Like how many streams they have, how long they've been doing this, how many songs, what genre?
Honestly, everything you just said, like it's hard because every situation is different. Like an artist may have really good interactions.
Take Joe, for example. Use Joe, for example.
Joe. Okay. So Joe Bryson, who Cabe manages. I mean, Joe had a song that did really well in 2018.
He dropped it in 2018.
Okay, yeah. So it's been 2 years. So it's like, well, he had a song do really well. It got over a million streams on Spotify alone. That's not total DSP streams. I don't know how much it has over Apple Music or Amazon Music. Or
total is probably around 10
Pandora.
Million.
Yeah, the total streams is probably, you know, over...
Upper probably 1.8 to 2 million through everyone, but
which is good. I mean, he put it out. He had no help, from what I know. He may have had a manager, and I'm for sure he worked with a producer in the studio on the track. And but those are probably the only people he really put it out with. He didn't have a record label or had a publishing deal at the moment where he was getting in rooms with writers that were more established. So in that case, it's like, well, this guy's brand new. He had success 2 years ago. What has he done with it since then? What could he be doing differently that he's maybe not taking advantage upon? Like what are his monthly listeners sitting at? Streaming, of course. That's more of your quantitative data. And then your qualitative is like, well, what do they have going for them? Like, what's their thing? And maybe, you know, they have killer choruses in majority of their songs, or whether their production is just really cool and something you haven't really heard yet and could be maybe pitched to be mainstream music and kind of push more towards a record label and radio side. Or it's like this person in today's market could be this subculture kind of artist, like a per se Chelsea Cutler, Jeremy Zucker on that sort of on that train, not saying Jeremy Zucker and Chelsea Cutler are not mainstream.
They're not mainstream,
but
the fact that they're not on terrestrial radio.
Yeah,
there's a difference between radio and
Yeah, you're playing different games whenever you are working with different artists. So like when you're working with radio and country, and like what I'm working with, it's normally looked at and like worked on in a different way than an artist project who, you know, they probably work on Jeremy's or Chelsea Cutler's. Like
Do you know who that is? Do you know either of those people?
No.
And to put it in perspective, those are two artists that are signed to Republic up in New York, and they have more of their New York vein of music going right now, which is super cool to watch and something that I love, you know, just to kind of track and learn from, honestly. But it's all different.
It just all comes down to the data, though. Like,
yeah, it's
what their demographic
and
is.
And to be honest, like it all comes down to the song. Like talking with people in the industry.
Shout out Amy Macy.
Yeah, honestly, it does. Like I've heard that over the past couple of years.
I'll give you the quote,
into
Lakota.
The industry.
The first time, it was either the first or second time I met you. It was in that class. It was what's it called? Survey of the recording industry. We had a great, great professor named Amy Macy.
Shout out.
And the first thing she ever told us is that it all starts with a song. Everything starts with a song. Like all this data it doesn't start with that.
It is so fascinating. It starts off with a song. The song is a musical composition, which is paid to your publisher and your writers. And that's completely like, you don't get radio. You do get radio payment for that. But if you didn't write the song as the recording artist and you were just the recording artist, you make really no money off of radio for it being streamed or spins, unless it's signed in a different way.
Yeah.
Like you make money off your name and likeness and off touring as your majority and the license.
That's the big thing with artists right now.
And it gets so intricate and weird. Like it's so fun to just kind of learn. And I'm just fascinated.
That's the big thing right now with artists that are not writing their own songs is they're not getting paid from royalties. Like they make an artist's income, I would say on average is 75% to 80% total. Like of their total income is more than likely from touring, which includes merch, the tour itself, tour sponsorships, crap like that. But that other 20% is made up by whatever it could be, like streaming,
and licensing and stuff like that. Anything to do with their likeness.
Yeah, it goes back to intellectual property and like how you can make money off of your name and likeness and what you can do in today's market digitally to not necessarily make money like people used to 10, 20 years ago. It's completely changed. Completely different. It's completely different than how it was a year ago. A year or 2 years ago. You know, upwards to five.
That's what's fun about this business.
Every year.
That's what's fun about this business. It's not.
It's honestly who can be creative first and have the best idea and make the most of the situation and then take advantage of the momentum that they capture in the moment where they do go number one on TikTok or it's the most added, you know, soundbite on TikTok for the week. You know, that happens every week to a different artist normally. And I think that's why the industry and the genres of music are so saturated, and there really are no genres of music anymore.
Especially you take TikTok for example. You look at someone like Morgan Wallen or Luke too. Luke Combs did it too. They would put out these demos as sounds. Are you on TikTok, Lakota?
No, I know if I get on there, it's a trap.
Oh, dude,
that's why I'm not on it. My wife will send me videos and snippets. And I'm like, man, that's fucking hilarious. Or I'll catch a clip on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I cannot download TikTok. Because if I download TikTok, I'm already a procrastinator. Yeah. If I download TikTok, not shit will be done.
Dude, I'll keep myself on TikTok for 2 or 3 hours. But the way that TikTok's algorithm works is what is so great about the app. Because it's not like your Instagram explore page where it's really just a hodgepodge of random stuff. It is tailored to you on Instagram, but it's not as good as TikTok's algorithm. You have a For You page that's usually not people you follow. You'll get somebody you follow every once in a while on your For You, but it's literally just like whatever you've liked is like in a certain, it's a very, very intricate algorithm, but it's freaking genius. It is amazing. But
I also heard something about TikTok's algorithm where if you're like a first time user, they'll get you a shitload of views for your first post. And then if you keep consistently putting out good content, they'll keep exposing you.
Yeah. There's a lot of tips and tricks behind it.
Yeah. Which I think is cool. 'Cause Instagram won't do that. No. Facebook won't do that. You have to pay for those.
Yeah. That's what's that's what's kind of authentic about it. But the thing that I was talking about specifically with Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs this year, as two artists who had already had radio success and touring success and were two of the biggest artists, frankly, in country music overall. I mean, Luke is the biggest thing on planet Earth right now in terms of country, right? I mean, I'd say it has been for the past couple of years. Sure.
Definitely the unicorn of the genre was the best way I've heard him described.
Yeah.
Over the past 5 years.
Yeah. They put out these sounds on TikTok and it's just demos. Like demos or work tapes of a song.
Like,
and then
the industry changes to the point where like you use these social media outlets to use leverage and gain more pre-ads, which is another way that's different that people, you know, analyze your how great your album is supposed to be, or you know, a way to compare it versus others depending upon your genre. But they're using all of these social media platforms that are really driving like your current views, like the people that are watching it, you know, every second. Like it's instantaneously, and they're gaining leverage from using those sort of things to their advantage to, you know.
It's funny how different it is than it even was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago with TikTok. You don't even, like, there would have never been someone with the stature of Luke Combs would never have put out, never would have put out a work tape or an unreleased song on social media because of, I guess you could blame it on copyright. I guess would be their excuse to not do it, but it's the intellectual property.
Really, they had a way to do it.
They just
it,
didn't,
honestly.
They didn't have
like,
that outlet.
But before we had TikTok or any ways to do it, you know, legally, they did it illegally via Napster.
There was, there was no incentive either. I mean, up until probably about 5 or 6 years ago, utilizing social media as a utility for ad revenue wasn't very big.
Yeah.
And so if an artist can capture a market, especially enhance their already captured market even more, that's more money in their pocket. And so putting out something raw like that is interesting to their viewers.
Well, it's almost in today's market, the more the way like I really look at an artist being naturally bigger than other artists is just authenticity, honestly.
Sniff out bullshit.
In today's world, people are being noticed and blown up because they're relatable to the everyday person sitting at home on COVID. You know, in a times that nobody's ever seen before, and like, wow, like that person looks like me, they talk like me, they sing like me, they have the same values that I do, and it's authentic. And these people are just, you know, as much themselves on stage as they're off stage. And
hold on, Reigns, are you saying celebrities and artists are human? No.
I guarantee it.
No.
He's being so sarcastic, right?
Oh.
They are not.
Okay.
Those are extraterrestrial beings that are sent from other planets to influence our way of life.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what he's saying is basically just like...
I agree with what you're saying now that I know how you're saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
That's what people think, right?
Your head.
I mean...
That went straight over my head.
There's a lot of people out there though that look at celebrities as just like playthings to talk about or that whatever, right? They don't look at them as human beings. And I think COVID really allowed, I mean, social media in general has allowed artists and celebrities alike to present themselves in more of a human manner. Mm-hmm. COVID has amplified that because we're all fucking home. There's nothing to fucking do. Artists are the same. They're like, yeah, we're fucking bored. Well, I mean, we got like millions of dollars in the bank. We got a fat fucking mansion, but we're bored.
Yeah. Right?
So
if you're
it's definitely made it more relatable.
Definitely.
A lot of artists pay their bills right
now. Yeah, a lot of artists right now are in their up shit's creek, dude. I mean,
it's not good.
Hey, but their managers, though,
are just as broke.
Dude, are just as broke.
Just as broke, baby. I get like $20 a month from Joe.
Unless you're making money in other ways. And the only people making money right now are record labels or publishing companies or any type of synchronization licensing going on.
Yeah.
Which is why it's digital, which is why the whole market is digital right now. There's even the live touring has been taken away, which nobody thought it could be taken away.
Nobody ever would have thought. Yeah. Nobody would have ever predicted that live music would not be around for more than like a few weeks. I mean, you take Daniel compares it. Daniel Miller's comparison is 9/11. Like, that's the most comparable thing to what we're going through right now. And they shut down for like a week. And that was like a huge hit. That was like a big deal. Like 1 week. And we've been sitting here, what, almost
10 months.
9, 10 months in, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's insane. That's insane, man.
It is. Well, and because a lot of these, like, I'm assuming, right, tours and schedules are made up a year in advance.
Year, 2 years. Sometimes, I mean, they...
That Even Dan more if Shea, they're international, right?
Yeah, that Dan and Shea tour this year, they were starting... First day was March 6th. First date was March 6th at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, and I got tickets as soon as it came out. And it got so big that they added another date, which is not that common for them to add a date like that. But that tour had been planned, been in the works for well over a year. Because you remember on that podcast that Jameson, what's his face? What's Bankamina's manager?
Jameson Roper.
Jameson Roper.
Yeah.
Jameson Roper was on this podcast well over probably 8 months before that tour. And he just was talking about like something big that they had coming up. And he was talking about them being the tour support for Dan and Shay.
Yeah, like that's true. He was talking on Andrew Krabs' podcast, which is where are all my friends, which is one of my favorite music industry podcasts of telling people stories and following and able to get like a real sense and a real 1v1 conversation with like the main comedians manager or somebody, yeah. somebody cool in the industry that has a story to tell that you can learn some things from.
Yeah.
How do you guys think the vaccines are going to change live venues?
Oh, dude, I don't even want to get into this topic. It's kind of scary.
Oh, we're going to get into it. We have to.
Into it.
Yeah.
I mean,
we have to because now, is there? 3 vaccines, 4 if you include China's, right?
Yeah.
That are floating around the world. 5, right? Because there's 3 here, one in the UK, one in China.
It's hard to keep up with, dude. But I mean, once the vaccine is like readily available, then why would there not? It will not be the way it was before. I think eventually live music will get back to how it was, where tours are planned year, 2 years in advance. Tours internationally, like everything will get back to normal, but it's going to be a bizarre phase in where all of a sudden I feel like there's going to be one of the vaccines comes out and then it's the opposite of shit hitting the fan. It would be the opposite of March the 9th when the music industry shut down. It's going to be the complete opposite and everything's going to amp back up so quickly that we're not even going to be able, like it's going to be scary, but it's going to be the most fun probably month of the music industry, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I have no idea if this is actually going to happen.
I'm kind of terrified of this.
I'm terrified of it, but I love it. Dude,
I think there should be like a massive fucking venue in the middle of nowhere where like all the bands, a huge music festival.
See, my thing, you asked about vaccines. I just don't want to get chipped. I've just heard there's all of this chipping going on in these vaccines.
I don't even know what that means.
Like we're
chipping?
Chipping. Like where they have a chip.
Yeah.
Like it's some type
That's
of
fine. Hey. Hey, do you have a cell phone?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're fine.
See,
they're already tracking you, buddy. It's all right.
Yeah, you're fine.
I heard that the other day and I was like, yeah, that's all
right. I'm gonna mix shit up. I'm gonna go get the Chinese vaccine because they're the ones that came out with the fucking disease and the virus in the first place. I'm gonna fucking fly to China.
Go to Shanghai.
I'm gonna go get the fucking vaccine from them. And then I'm gonna fly back to Vancouver, Washington. And they're gonna be like, holy shit. And they're gonna be tracking me from Vancouver to Salem every day. God damn, this guy is a boring ass life.
Yeah, I think people are scared of really anything new now, and the vaccine's obviously going to be new, so it's just going to be, I mean, I honestly have no idea, but my hope is that once a vaccine is readily available, people like can trust it, whatever, that
I hope it goes good,
shit gets back to normal, man, some kind of normal, whether that, I mean,
I was supposed to
say, LA is shut down again. LA,
yeah, but LA, fuck LA, that's a bad example. Like, they don't know what the fuck they're doing over there. But, you know, Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle are doing shows in Austin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
or
Joe? What they're doing, it's non-negotiable. You get in line early, you're getting tested. As long as everything's kosher, you can come in, but you have to wear your mask. That's non-negotiable as well. And they're able to run these venues. And Chappelle's been doing these venues since the shutdown for almost a year now.
Yeah.
Right? There's been a way to do live music. It's just been, you know, there's a lot of hoops to jump through.
A lot of hoops, dude.
But it didn't have to be completely shut down. You know, people are fucking itching to get back to live venues.
It's just not, you know, A-listers and people you hear about. You know,
no, they're just chilling.
Yeah.
They're like, cool, well, they're vacation.
Because as soon as someone says, hey, we're playing a show at the Oakfield Fairground, like, mm-hmm. it's going to be socially distanced, but you don't have to wear a mask. Like, as soon as there's something like that, then they just get completely chastised. And the media is just jumping on people. That's what happened with, there's an artist in like June or July, and they had a show where it was socially distanced. And like there were news trucks there like the day before the show. Yeah, no, not Chase. I was talking about Riley Green.
Oh, I heard about the Chase Rice.
The Chase Rice one was bad, though.
Yeah, Chase Rice story was bad. That it was not good. That's why I thought you were talking about that one.
I don't know all the details of that.
Yeah, but that was like in the kind of the early stages of the shutdown. Now, dude, I go, where the fuck was I? I was somewhere recently and nobody was wearing a mask. Like up here.
Dude, you said you were in a grocery store last week and there was that old dude with an oxygen tank that didn't have a mask on.
That's where I was, the mall. No, I was at the mall. Dude, it was fucking crazy. It was Black Friday. It was the last week.
Yeah.
And there was no one. Like, I mean, I can't say there's no one, but there was like, I would say 60-40. 40% were not wearing masks. 60% were.
Did you find any Black Friday deals?
No. I don't shop on Black Friday. I don't believe in that shit.
You were there.
But you just said you were there.
You were at the mall.
I was with my buddy. He was buying Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually... I'm like, dude, I don't even know how the fuck you convinced me to go out in public on Black Friday, because I usually avoid that shit as much as I can.
I didn't do it.
I've worked enough retail where I'm like, most of this is a fucking sham. You can get just as good deals in the middle of the year as you can on Black Friday. Sometimes.
It's still fun, though. I like Black Friday shopping. It's like a rush. We used to go every year in high school. We'd leave.
That's called an addiction.
No, it's not an addiction. It's fun.
You're like, man, it's a fucking rush. And I just want to see how much I can make this $100 stretch.
No, dude, I'd spend like $15. I bought a cowboy hat my junior year of high school for $15. It was like $80 originally.
Cabe Kelly the cowboy. Nice.
Cabe Kelly the cowboy.
There you go.
Cowboy Cabe Kelly.
Cabe was a cowboy. No, you still are.
Yeah, still I'm wearing Sperry's hat and gym shorts right now. I'm not a cowboy.
Yeah, frat boy.
No. Cabe's a real life cowboy.
No, I am. I lived in Texas. Wow. My roots go back to Texas, back to 1850s.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Cabe, did we yesterday talk about the monoliths?
No, I don't even know what that is. I've seen it on Twitter, but I've not looked into it at all. Give me a rundown.
Reigns, do you know about them?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my goodness. I don't know much about, I don't think anyone knows much about them. I don't know if they're actually real or photoshopped or what the fuck, but there's these like,
are these the UFOs?
I would like to speculate that these are aliens.
Okay, I'm on the same page.
Visiting us. I don't know. There's these like 10 to 12 feet tall metal structures that are just like popping up.
They look like the Southwest boarding number poles.
Yes, they do.
You know what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's so funny. Yeah, I do. That's so funny. But they keep popping up in random places and then disappearing. Or people are like taking them down.
I don't know, man.
It's weird.
And it's all over the world. It was in Utah first, then Romania, then California. And I think there was another one found somewhere else.
Huh. Bizarre.
I don't know.
They're coming. They're coming.
Somebody knows more.
That's how we'll finish 2020 with aliens showing themselves to us.
Is that going to be the final chapter of 2020?
No, that's how we all end. Everybody thought that that 2000 was the end of the world. It'll be 2020, for right sure. before 2021.
Well, I hope you're wrong, man.
Right, this is so funny. Rains, I'm left. Rains, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's no, just fun to say shit like this.
I love to have these type of conversations.
I just realized this is my like first impression. Like, we're gonna get off this podcast.
This man believes like, in the alien. Ray's
gonna be like,
he already thinks we're chipped. he is the furthest guy to not trust the government I think I've ever met.
Yeah, Alex Jones is on my speed dial.
That's funny.
He's in my top favorites.
That's all right.
No, I just thought it was so interesting that like these things keep popping up, and of course people are just bored as shit, so they'll feed into it.
Dude, easily. Whatever happened, when was the Area 52 raid? What was that, last September or something, when everybody's going to raid Area 51? I just said Area 52, I think, but Area 51.
You did say Area 52. Well, there's S4, and then there's Area 51, but I think...
I just remember everybody talking about how they were going to raid Area 51.
How do we go from that to like actually the world? Like
aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens. Okay, so that topic isn't too engaging, but have you guys seen this one where this 27-year-old baby was born?
What?
No. Fuck yeah. I'm going to share this on our Instagram and on Facebook, but
put it in the chat.
Will you tag me?
Yeah, hold on. Let me see. Let me see if I can just copy and paste this. So, this couple, they're like 28 years old. They took these frozen embryos that had been frozen for years.
So it's not.
They're not like.
Embryo.
Yeah, but that embryo is 27 years old, only a year younger than the mom.
That's crazy.
And then, that was their second kid. Their first kid was also a frozen embryo who was 24 years old.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about.
I just put it in the chat. I just sent you guys a link.
Let's see.
So apparently, like, what they do is they'll freeze these embryos. And the research wasn't very conclusive on, like, what's the risk of, like, prolonged exposure to just them being frozen.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And apparently it's okay. I was reading the CNN article, and they don't really talk about or speculate on, like, the repercussions of this.
Oh, the people
like,
are from Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah, they're from.
I didn't catch that.
Tina and Ben Gibson from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Locals.
But they broke a record with their firstborn and their secondborn.
That's crazy. Knoxville.
But you know what's even crazier? Is that their secondborn is older than their firstborn.
What? Oh.
Uh-huh.
That's not. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
But
that is crazy, though. 27 years is a long time, dude. That's like some Captain America shit.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I'm not. I'm, right? I got 7 years till I'm 27.
Yeah, no.
That's a long time.
Look at Ray. Can't even
imagine. Fight. Here, I'm a paint you a situation, right?
Okay.
I get cloned, right? They clone my stem cells and everything and create an embryo, Lakota embryo, and freeze me for 50 years.
Change your Instagram name to Lakota_embryo.
Going under, boys.
I will. And then when I die, they have my frozen embryo, my clone, and I'm just reborn.
You could also just get baptized.
How fucking dope. I am baptized.
I was saying you could be born again. It was a joke.
Oh, no, I won't do that. Fuck no. Fuck no. You want to get into that conversation? Let me piss off my in-laws' side of the family.
No, it was a joke. Bad joke.
They don't even listen. They don't even listen to this podcast. I'm sure they listen to like one episode and they'll be like, oh my goodness, he said the fuck word. Oh my goodness. Wow. He doesn't talk like that at Christmas. Nope.
Didn't you live with your in-laws?
I lived with, well, no, like my mother and father-in-law know who I am, but the extended family, like my grandmother-in-law, my uncles-in-law, my aunts-in-laws, I have to play pretend with them and pretend like I'm a decent person.
You are a decent person. You're just not.
You're not how old are you?
I'm 27.
Oh wow.
The embryo is your age, bro.
Dude, y'all
shit. I know.
That's crazy.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's weird.
I'm actually 54. Wow. Because I was a 27-year-old embryo. Just kidding. Oh. How crazy, like, how do you explain that to your kids?
Dude, that's a hell of a, like, pickup line, like.
Yeah.
Like, you could.
Like, hey, how old are you? I'm 50. Really? You don't look any, like, older than 23.
Well, that's. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
It's a little. I take care of myself.
I drink lots of water.
That girl was born, that baby was born able to buy beer, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not even allowed to buy beer yet.
Yeah, Reigns works for this big time record label and he can't even buy beer yet.
That's sad.
It's crazy.
You're almost there, right? When's your birthday?
It's April. I am almost there, but it's been there a long.
April what?
April 27th.
Oh, okay. Okay. And my wife's April 12th.
Nice.
That's funny because her name's April too.
Month. You know, it's weird. Yeah. It'd be weirder if her birthday was in like November and her name was April.
April, yeah.
Came.
I've often thought about the name like April as some. I've never met a girl with the name April, but.
Oh, that's my wife. I think she's in the other room. Sorry, I have like a stiff neck. I can't even turn around.
That wife's name?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Really?
I just said that.
Okay. Are you well, deaf? That's, no, that's probably where I got it from. You know,
Reigns. Check, that. Check, check. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Okay. Loud and clear, brother.
Loud and clear, baby.
Have you guys seen this Chinese weather modification effort?
No.
Oh, what does that even mean?
I'm so disappointed. I haven't seen any of the things you've.
Oh my goodness! This shit is so. There's so many interesting things that came out in the news.
Send a link in the iMessage chat, not in that chat.
I don't have iMessage on my computer.
Oh.
Yeah, bogs it down. I got an old computer, dog.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I'm actually about to take out Apple. I have a MacBook Pro. Okay. It's like a 2011, 2012 model.
Yeah.
But I'm about to swap out the SSD for a 1 or 2 terabyte SSD. So that should help it.
Word.
So but the Guardian reported on this. So the Chinese have been like working on this whole weather modification device and it's been working where they can basically enhance the volume of precipitation and clouds.
Interesting.
To force it to rain or snow.
China to expand weather modification program to cover area larger than India.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it just like a plane or something?
I think they use like missiles or some shit.
That's crazy.
Let's see.
It's rocket. Da, 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 da. Cloud seeding.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? I should have looked up like
injecting small amounts of silver iodide into clouds with a lot of moisture, which will then condense around the new particles, becoming heavier and eventually falling as precipitation. I've heard about that. I remember hearing about that out in California. They would do that with planes. Like they'd fly a plane up and drop whatever that silver iodide is. That's crazy.
Chemtrailing.
Yeah.
Alex Jones was right.
Yeah.
What I want to know is like, how safe is that to be in the environment?
Yeah.
You know, like breathing that shit in. You're going to breathe it in.
I wouldn't even consider like necessarily the breathing it in. More or less like the changes
absorbing that
are supposed to be natural.
Like
natural selection in a way. I guess that would be a good term for it. But I mean, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Don't eat the rice, guys.
Yeah, like
it's filled with silver iodide or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, silver iodide. That's crazy.
It's good. What would Alex Jones say in this?
It's gonna make you.
It's gay. It's gonna turn you into a homosexual.
It's gonna turn you gay. I have a DUI. I'm Alex Jones. They're turning the frogs gay.
Dude, it's crazy, man. That dude's wild, bro.
Did you listen to the most recent Joe Rogan with him on?
I heard about it. I heard he just got drunk as shit, didn't he?
He got fucking hammered.
It was in Sober October and Joe wasn't even smoking and Alex was like hammered.
I wouldn't be able to handle someone like that sober.
Dude.
I was listening on the way to work and I'm like, I have so much anxiety.
Just listening.
Like, listening to this guy.
I have to go to Lebanon after this. I'll listen to it on the way there. That's funny, man. Alex Jones is a kook, but some of that shit.
when you listen to the original one of him and Rogan in like 2016 or 2017, he said some stuff in there that was really weird that sounded, would have sounded weird in 2017, but it turned out to be like kind of true. Like stuff about like the pedophiles and like all of that weird crap, like relating back to Epstein and stuff. Like, I don't know too much about that situation, but it was pretty crazy, man. I got to give that some credit.
Epstein's not even like the only situation. Yeah, there's an island outside of Michigan that they've been investigating for, I think, 2 decades now.
What?
Also, it came back that Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, we knew that. Oh, okay. Everybody knew that.
Yeah, I'm late to the party, but I learned that this week. What?
Buddy, what? You learned that this week?
I'm pretty behind.
Dude, Reigns has been listening to too many new artist music, bro.
Yeah.
It's like, all I do. I don't know.
He's like, I don't have time to read the news. I'm listening to music, baby.
I'm finding the next Luke Combs, bro. That's funny.
I guess I'm pretty far behind on mainstream media. I don't know.
You're very far behind.
I don't watch the news normally.
Neither do I.
Well, here's one thing. The House just passed a bill to decriminalize marijuana on the federal level.
We talked about that a little bit yesterday, but we were going to dive in more today.
Yeah, I really don't know how much more to dive into. I mean, we discussed kind of like what my thoughts are. Well, in Oregon, decriminalized all drugs.
Crazy, man. That's crazy.
And I think that was a smart move, and I think the rest of the country should follow suit, because really, if you're a drug user, being in prison for, you know, months or years is just going to worsen the situation.
Yeah.
You're going to become more dependent on drugs.
You need to get,
because there's drugs in our prison system. There's no way around that.
I do agree with the way it'll hopefully correct those type of situations and maybe give better support for people in, you know, that circumstance.
Yeah.
So I love that. I mean, that's a, you know, it's just a better situation overall.
Reigns, are you familiar with like what Oregon actually did?
No, I mean, again, I guess I'm pretty far behind on mainstream.
You didn't hear about that?
No worries.
It was all over everything, dude.
No, I didn't hear about
it. It was everywhere.
In the group chat that you were in.
Maybe I did. Maybe I did. I just probably didn't pay attention, honestly, is what I'm saying.
Oh, man, he's listening to music.
Listening to music, bro. No, Oregon decriminalized, like, all drugs.
Really?
Okay. All drugs, but there's a catch to it. Like, let's say I use the example of like, if you are caught with a crack pipe and crack, instead of being arrested and put in jail, you have two options. You pay $100 fine, or you are forced into, you know, forced, but you choose to go to rehab.
Option to go to rehab. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a great option. I think that's awesome.
That will ultimately put an end to the war on drugs. 'Cause the war on drugs was like the fucking dumbest thing that our federal government could have ever wasted resources on. It's fucking stupid. They're like, oh, well, we got to stop the cartels. Legalize marijuana. Boom. Right? Decriminalize cocaine use.
I think I think it's just a different circumstance now. People realize that it's not as, like, first off, pot helps a lot of people, dude. Like, I think that people, it just takes people time to realize something quote unquote new like that, something that's kind of foreign to them personally, you know? And that's why there's these stigmas.
Well, there was a lot of propaganda too back in like the 60s and 70s where it's now come to light like in the past few years that like the timber industry, the oil industry, every industry that could have been affected by the hemp plant or marijuana, pharmaceuticals, everything. They're like, yeah, we got to put a stop to this shit.
Yeah.
Because marijuana, especially with all the terpenes, can solve a lot of problems.
Well, hemp think about it
from can be made into anything.
Yeah.
Literally hemp can be made into concrete, clothing.
I saw
it. Can be made into plastics. It can be made into everything. You could build a fucking car minus the engine and like any other metal parts, but you can build like the exterior of the car with hemp oil.
Yeah.
Well, just think about the positives from an economical standpoint, like that the tax dollars and, you know, I'm sure whatever I'm saying probably could be traced back to another deeper issue that it takes you to. But the positives that it could have on an economic scale, I think, is beneficial.
No, I agree with you. And then there's another thing on the economic scale. It's fucking reusable, or it's sustainable, right?
Yeah.
You can grow marijuana and hemp very fucking quick in a small patch of land. there's only so much oil we can pull up to produce plastics and sorts.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of propaganda against it. Also, like, I think people are just starting to realize, like, you know, we allow cigarettes and we allow alcohol to be like fully legal for adults.
Alcohol is more dangerous than weed, bro.
Alcohol will fuck your life up, bro. Yeah. Very easily. And it's socially acceptable to be drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
Like, oh man, I'm gonna go get hammered this weekend. Right on, well, brother. I mean, drink one for me.
You gotta think. I mean, that's what everybody does on the weekends. Like, you know.
Yeah, but my point
well,
is,
hey, Rains.
At least my generation does.
Not my Mormon brethren. Not my Mormon brethren. They do not. They drink their Diet Pepsis. And
well then take it from a stereotypical standpoint. Like, look at your stereotypical college kid. Yeah. You know? I mean, that's what college are supposed to.
Not at BYU.
You're not even Mormon, Lakota.
I'm not. But I was around Mormons like for 3.5 years of my life.
I know so much about Mormons. I know so much more about Mormons than I do like the normal person. It's so funny. Like, one of my best friends in high school was Mormon. And so when I started working for Vivint and I was around all these Mormon people, like, I knew so much more than all the other dudes that were like not familiar with it or like not Mormon. It's funny, man.
I love how you're
popular. Yeah, basically, if you want to know about Mormonism, just join a door-to-door industry.
Huh?
Yeah. No, I was saying I love how you're a podcast man. I used to be a Vivint Door guy.
Yeah, now that's how me and him met.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Wow. We met in Texas last October.
Okay, that makes so much more sense now. I was like,
yeah,
I was confused where the connection between y'all came from.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was when I was like, yeah, man, I'm going to be starting a podcast.
You didn't even tell us that then. I didn't even know you started the podcast until I saw you in January. In Salt Lake.
All right. Well, then, can I ask your opinion on door-to-door sales and your personal partake?
Okay.
I've never done it, so I have no bias either way, but I'm curious.
Okay.
What?
Ask your question.
Oh, okay. How do you like it overall?
Oh, I'm not in it anymore. I'm a carpenter now.
Yeah. Well, compared to carpentry, I don't know.
Oh, carpentry. Well, there's something super fulfilling about what I'm doing now. I'm an apprentice.
Heck yeah.
Up here in Vancouver. And I'm actually, the project that I'm on right now, we're expanding a hospital in Salem, Oregon.
It's cool.
Right? Much more fulfilling than trying to like weasel my way into someone's fucking door and like sell them a product. Yeah. Now, I will say this. Door-to-door is probably one of the most unique jobs I've ever had where it's psychology. That's it.
Yeah.
It's just psychology. And I think for the most part, the people that do it and that are really good at it do mean well.
Yeah.
I don't think they like have mal intentions or anything like that.
For sure.
But it's definitely stressful.
For sure.
It's definitely it's commission driven. So if you don't sell, you don't make any money.
Yeah.
I went to my friend's house yesterday in a neighborhood in Murfreesboro that I sold an account in, and I drove past the house and I saw the sign and I was like, dang, dude, that's crazy, man. I literally walked up to these people's door and within an hour I had them signing like,
see, that's my thing. I've never done it. So just the way like it is so different. And like you're saying, like the things you probably gain from just being a salesman in general from that door-to-door job. I hear door-to-door sales is so good to translate to being a great salesman. It's insane. Whatever you do, whatever trade you like to do on the side.
I was already a great communicator when I was doing it. Like before I started that, like that's how I got that job pretty much, was for being a good communicator.
Yeah,
but I am so much better now at networking and the meet like those Red Door Hangs do. Yeah. Like, I am so much better at talking to people now.
Well, I mean, in today's world, it's almost foreign to walk up to somebody and just have a conversation with them. I mean, like, seriously, everybody's on their phone. Everybody just pulls out their phone and looks down or scrolls Instagram while walking through the mall.
Dude,
or whatever
if you got the balls
doing,
to talk to a stranger,
catches
them off guard.
Today's market or today's just world is like, you walk up to a stranger and they're like, they're freaked out. Like, if anything, if somebody walks up to me and just starts talking randomly in the mall or wherever I'm at, I'm like, oh, like what's going on? If anything, your guard's up.
Yeah, it catches them off guard.
I enjoy that. I like catching people off guard because then you can get a point across that you need to quickly.
That's
like
true.
If I was walking up to a stranger,
surprise.
Like if I were walking up to a girl, like in a mall, like that's weird to think about. I don't know. Like, hey, Howard, like,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, I have no idea. It would be circumstantial, but like
for sure,
if you walked up to a girl, it's like tried to get her number in person, I feel like she would be so much more likely to go on a date with you because you had the balls to walk up and like actually communicate.
Well, that's,
you didn't hit her up.
That's how I met my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. She went to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah. She was our waitress at Texas Roadhouse the first week I was in Laredo.
That's dope.
Well, and this is the first thing. So she took our drink orders.
Okay.
And the next thing that came out of my mouth was like, are you married? And she just laughed. She goes, no. I'm like, are you dating anyone? She goes, no. I go, here's my number. Shoot me a text sometime. And I wrote down my number.
Let's go. That's
right. Dope. And like, I was never on like dating sites or dating apps. Sure. I always liked meeting people. And when I was single and I was dating, I liked meeting them in person.
Yeah, I agree.
It means for more. Sure.
Dude, it does.
And door to door, there's something actually really beautiful about that industry where you're literally knocking on a stranger's door. Mm. You're having a conversation. You're building trust within seconds.
Yeah.
And then within minutes, you're inside their fucking house and they're giving you money. They're buying something from you.
A lot of it.
A lot of it. A lot of money.
Some of my biggest packages, man, like $4,000 probably, $3,500.
Dude, that's just wild.
I got that beat.
What'd you get?
I sold an $8,000 system.
Was it like a commercial or one or something?
No, it was on this fat fucking house. They canceled 2 days later, but I was sorry, so pissed. Bro.
That's all.
I sold the state senator of Laredo a Vivint system, and they had a fucking fortress. It was like a 7,000 square foot home, and they wanted 8 cameras. And
so I sold them two separate systems.
Two separate systems.
Interesting.
Why?
And I did it. I did it in my office in our townhouse in Alaska, and I set it up in Laredo. And he fucking canceled. I was so pissed. I'm like, oh, that would have been a fat commission.
That's a fat check.
But it's a beautiful thing where it definitely made me bolder. I was in the same situation as Cabe where, like, you know, I was in a fraternity. I'd been doing a lot of public speaking. My communication skills, I would say, were pretty good.
Yeah.
And I already talked to strangers willy-nilly. Yeah. I'm that dude that will strike up a conversation in the middle of a fucking grocery store line. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
I talked to a girl the other day at a gas station. They caught her off guard.
Did you? Was she in fear for her life, or was she like happy to talk to you?
For everything, it was like something. Dude, chill out.
Sorry, no, it's funny. He's a funny guy.
You're yakking over here.
I thought it was funny. Shit. I don't know what to tell you.
She like something was happening with like the ice cream machine or something in the gas station, and we just started talking. Like we probably talked for 15 seconds.
But how's your ice cream?
See, when I envision you saying like, yeah, I struck up a conversation with a girl at a gas station. She's pumping gas. You catch her from behind. We're like, hey, sweet car or some shit. Are you doing premium? Premium in that baby, aren't you?
Yeah. Man, why are you putting diesel in
the
Nissan? Take care of
that. Hey, when's the last time you checked your oil? Did I check your oil?
Ma'am, do you mind if I check your oil?
Have you checked your tire pressure lately?
Is your washer fluid low?
No. This is how you do it. Hey, I think your light bulb fluid is low.
Ma'am, I believe your steering wheel fluid is low.
Can I turn it on?
Do you mind if I turn on your car and check? You turn on and drive off. Just like that.
That's savage.
Just like
that. That's savage.
There is a trail of like, I'm fascinated by podcasts and hearing people's stories of like,
well, you should only listen to one podcast. It's the Icon Demon podcast with Lakota and Kate.
I'm here now.
Yes, sir.
To be here. But I've commonly seen people that are somewhat successful in different areas. They had some type of door to door sales experience that they, you know, talk about normally in the beginning of whatever they were doing. And it's, I've heard it a couple times. I always think it's cool when people are door to door.
Dude, Jordan Belfort still sells shit door to door. Still to this day. I heard
he's a fucking scammer. He's a scammer.
He's a scammer now. I don't think he's a scammer now. I can't remember.
No, he's just that was just like a playful thing that we would say in Vivint. Like if you're good, like you're a fucking scammer.
Oh, yeah.
You're a scammer. That was a brunette thing, and
I love Jordan Belfort, dude. Fascinating human being.
See, it's hard for me to look at him just because like I know what he did.
Yeah.
So it's like oh, you're fucking scum.
Yeah, he wants to come back, but that's
you're scum.
He's a great great example of like giving a second chance to someone and then making the most out of it, though. You know, because dude's a legend, honestly, in a lot of ways. I mean, like, he had the biggest whatever company like on Wall Street. He was ripping people the hell off, but like.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I know, but it's like, but when now, I see his like, videos, hold on. Dude, now and I see his videos, I fucking skip them. Really? I don't even listen. And I think I have like Icon to even following him, like on Instagram. I skip them. And the reason why, this dude could start a fucking charity saving puppies from AIDS infested monkeys. And I'd be like, you're a fucking scammer. I don't give a shit, right? I don't care.
That talks about reputation in a cool way.
What?
Reputation. His reputation and his, you know,
yeah,
perception on,
I mean, dude,
based on your representation and not even given a chance to.
Right. Well, and people idolize him because of, like, especially the movie, right? The
movie is what
Wolf of Wall Street.
Everybody, I think, looks back on.
That's how our generation knows of him.
Yeah,
for sure. Right. But it's so hard for me to like take him seriously and be like, you really, oh yeah, like he's a decent guy. Who?
You really, I cannot take seriously.
Grant Cardone.
Oh my God. All the
fuck that guy.
Bro, Grant.
Fuck that guy.
I watched a video, dude. I don't know. I just feel like I watched a video of him talking to like a 14-year-old. Like, and the 14-year-old was asking him a question about like saving money or like what he should invest in. Like, he had $1,000 or whatever. And he's such a dick, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Such an asshole, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, what are, like, if you guys don't know who Grant Cardone is, he's like a massive real estate mogul.
10x it, bro. 10x your efforts.
He's like,
man,
one of those people that you would see in a movie that's like a motivational speaker, but it's obviously Gary Vee. No.
What? I love Gary Vee.
Who's that?
I think he has interesting points. I like to listen to him. I don't know if I necessarily agree with everything he says to the perfect way he says it, but right. I think his intentions are cool. I like to listen to it.
I think out of all of those like motivational speakers, I think Gary Vee honestly is one of the most genuine people.
I don't know if it's true.
He actually is genuine, but I trust him out of all of those like guys because he's not trying to sell you something.
No,
he's really not.
He's like, trying to
sign up for this, right? He doesn't give a fuck. Like you're not part of his clientele for VaynerMedia.
No.
Right? His clientele for VaynerMedia is like Nike or K-Swiss, right? He has a brand deal with them.
Mm.
Or like other big companies, but that like one-on-one, he's like, you're not my clientele. I'm just trying to motivate you.
He's just honest. Yeah. He's just trying to put success and a successful mindset into people, hopefully for a good way. I can agree, and hopefully you're right. It'd be cool if he was as authentic as he presents himself.
But he's probably a scammer.
He might be. I don't know.
He's probably a scammer.
I know that. So
he's just better at all of them. But going back to Grant Cardone, I watched this video of like his daughter, like giving a speech, and it's like, oh my God, he's breeding scammers.
Yeah,
he's breeding fucking scammers, and like they like the camera like pans to him, and he's like fucking tearing up and shit. It's like, man, he is so proud of his daughter. And I mean, she gave a great fucking speech, but it was rehearsed.
Yeah.
You could definitely tell it was disingenuous, just like he is. Like,
he's not.
I've heard nothing but terrible fucking things about Grant Cardone. And I met some people that are fucking 10Xers, man. They're fucking 10Xers. And they are like scum.
They're all.
Fuck those guys.
I know.
And there's probably some that I'm friends with. And they just like closeted 10Xers or something. Like, you're just closeted scum, I guess. I don't know.
Sweetheart, I'm coming out of the closet.
What?
I'm a 10Xer.
Oh. I'm a 10Xer.
Great.
Like, goddamn it.
Another one of you.
Yeah. And I've read one of his books, and I thought it was really interesting. But
I think he does make good points. I think I read one of his books too. And honestly, I liked the book. I just don't like him. Like, I just don't like
him. I don't like him either. Bro. Yeah.
It's annoying. All right. I've got you said Gary Vee, and that made me think of something. Who is one of your favorite comedians right now, Lakota?
Kevin Hart.
Okay.
Kevin Hart has been my favorite comedian for probably the past like 9 years.
Okay, go through three quick, just like your top three quick.
I give.
Okay, so Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr, Tom Segura, and this is a hard one. Burr's funny, but he's not in my top five. Fucking Louis C.K.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So the reason I asked this is because we were talking about TikTok earlier, and I'd never heard of this dude before. He's a big deal though in the African American community. His name? Gary Owen. Do you know who
Gary Owen?
A white dude. He's married to a black girl. She is hilarious. And he tells the funniest stories in the best way about I'll have to show you. Like, he just puts up these clips on TikTok, dude. And it is the funniest shit. So I wanted to just give a quick shout out to Gary Owen, kind of talk about comedy because I love that shit too. And I love that TikTok is bringing comedy in that kind of way as well. Like, comedians are able to do that. Theo's doing his podcast and putting clips up on there.
TikTok
is funny.
You can use as a way to have a TikTok.
To build
way.
a
Oh, you know what? Like, you know what? Yeah. If I were to do a top six, Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, rest in peace. His career is fucking over. His career is fucking over. But so is Louis C.K. I think that one's a bullshit thing, but whatever.
I don't know the details of that, but I mean, if we're based
Louis C.K.,
I mean, I know about it, but I don't know enough. Like, I listened to the Rogan about it. Like,
oh, he'd fucking like pleasure himself, like over the phone, like talking to people or like gross. Right in front of them.
That's gross. But I mean, if we're basing it
off of comedy, he got consent.
That's so weird. That's so weird.
It's weird. Yes, it's fucking weird to be like, hey, I'm just gonna fondle myself.
Hey, dude, right. I'm going to touch myself to your voice. Yeah. Like, hey, man. Hey, Reigns, what are you doing?
This is not,
I'm sitting here listening to music. Can I, like, touch myself while you talk?
I do not like this conversation.
Well, it's just like Gabe the other day, like, FaceTiming me at 4:40 in the morning. I was taking a shit.
Gabe stays up, like later than anybody that I know.
This is what happened. That night, I was planning on going to bed.
Calling Gabe.
I was planning
to bed at 1:30,
and I played this song on the guitar, and Sexwax was like, dude, that's dope. What is that? And I was like, it's this song John wrote. And he was like, dude, can we like mess with it? And I was like, okay. Oh my gosh. We stayed up until 6:30 in the morning.
I can't 6:40. I haven't done that since I was like 12 years old. Dude, playing Xbox with the homies.
I've stayed up.
Reigns, you're getting so old, dog.
Dude, I feel it.
Dude, Reigns gets hired by this big company.
No, I just like to go to bed. I can't stay up late. Like, do you stay up late?
No, so I can't. Monday through Friday. I have work at 7 a.m.
Wow, okay.
An hour and 10 minutes away. So I'm up at 3:40 in the morning. Oh, I'm out the door by 5:15 and I'm at work by 6:30. And
that's awesome.
And I get off at 3:30. Then I don't usually get home till like 5:30. And I'm in bed by 8, probably out by 8:30.
Wow. Yeah.
So he texted me the other day, which is 4:40 his time, 6:40 my time. And I guarantee there was not an inkling of thought in his mind that would have thought that I was going to answer by any time earlier than 2 p.m.
time. Yeah, Cave sleeps.
Like, and I texted it. I didn't even text it back. He said, hey,
homie. You FaceTime me.
He said, hey, homie, you ready to record tomorrow? And I called him.
You FaceTime me, dog. I was taking a shit. And I'm like, hey, man, what's up? My wife's asleep, like, right there. He goes, oh man, like, I was like, you look at her and you're like, dude, you're fucked up right now.
You're
so fucked.
Energized, electric person I've ever met, Kate.
That is the biggest compliment.
It's great.
Kelly. This man has the more energy than anybody I think I've ever met.
I'll take that.
I agree. You're gonna do.
I'm loud too, but you're loud,
Gabe,
bro.
Gabe, you're gonna do really well in the music industry.
Dude, I can't wait, dude. As soon as this shit's over with, I'm telling you, the music industry is gonna be a trade. I'll say it 100 times. I'll probably say it on the podcast. I've said it to Reigns. Industry is gonna be
a train that does not stop for the next 15 years, and I cannot wait to be out of college and to be a part of it because it's going to be the most fun I've ever had in my life. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I am really excited to like tour and hopefully have the chance to tour.
Rand and I were talking the other day like about actually, like getting tattoos of tours that we go on.
Yeah, so I don't have any tattoos right now, but I really like the idea of every time I go on a tour associated with like in a high up position, whether it's tour management or just like management.
We need to talk about
like,
Zach too.
Yeah, well, whoever it's with, I hope it's with Zach, but whoever it's with, like no matter if I just have a cool position on the tour, I want to get a random tattoo in a random city from all these different tours and be able to look back and be like, oh, that was in like 2025.
Dad, why were you in Bethlehem, Dallas, Pennsylvania?
Oh, Sonny, we were playing a show, an outdoor venue at a shed.
Yeah, they have to be like actually real tours, you know, to consider them, in my opinion.
Well, a shed is an amphitheater, in case you didn't know that.
No, dude, everywhere you go. So my wife and I do this. We have two tattoos. I have this gun with like a heart shooting out of it. Got this done in Laredo. I have a sailboat, and she has the exact same one that we got done in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Nice.
We're going to get, like, once all this like shit settles down, we're going to get one for Vancouver, Washington, and probably one for Portland, Oregon. And we're going to fly up to Alaska and get one too. That's Since cool. we lived in Alaska together for a little bit.
I'm getting a frat tat here soon, cool. I think.
Should I get a frat?
Oh, yeah? Oh,
you're not in a frat.
I'm not even in a fraternity.
I told
why have you. Why did you not pledge?
Why did I not pledge?
Yeah. Fraternities are great.
He's too quirky.
Honestly, I never joined a fraternity. Yeah. I don't know. I just kind of rather be friends and like not pay the dues.
He had enough friends, dude. He'd get into all of our parties. Our parties are like Greek guys only, but I'd slip right.
Well, if it was like a SEC school or a big school, it'd be a little bit different, but everybody knows everybody at the high or the college we went to.
I would say it's the exact opposite of TSU, honestly.
So you can just like be friends with everybody in Greek life and be a part of multiple different situations without having to like pay dues and go to all the meetings and be a chapter on Sunday. You do whatever you want.
Then you get
smart.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't join a fraternity, to answer your question. But I mean, I look back at it and I'm like, well, I mean, everybody that has joined one, were you in a fraternity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was a president.
Really nice. Everybody that I've talked to about it says great things about being at one, positive. So.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was fun. It was definitely a lot of hard work, but it was a fun experience.
For sure. So I do miss, you know, missing out on possibly that, but it's cool.
We'll have Audie on here in a few weeks, hopefully. And me and Audie are going to get matching frat tats on our thighs. Did you just have an earthquake or something?
Dude, you would have thought, bro. So this table that we bought just to record on, is so fucking wobbly, and it did not do well on the trip, on the drive up from Laredo. And I got to tighten this shit.
Yeah, man.
Like, I was leaning on it, and I came off of it, and it was, like, fucking wobbly.
You're
it was like, oh,
now,
shit.
Dude. All right, I want to get into this before. How long have we been on here?
I feel like we've been on.
Hour and 12.
Hour 12. Damn, that's pretty good. All right, I want to get into Zach Seabaugh, who Reigns manages, who has now become one of my good pals. Voice of an angel, sexy, sexy human being. One of the most attractive men I've ever seen in my life.
Keep talking. I gotta go pee.
All right, I'll filibuster. I'll tell you guys about Zach.
Do it.
So Zach and I met because of none other than the man that we call Reigns Montgomery Edenfield. Zach's a musician, great guy. He was on The Voice. Reigns met him what, spring freshman year?
Correct.
Spring 19?
Yeah.
So I want to talk about Zach. We'll kind of wait for Lakota to get back. What's up with you, Raids? How's you ready to do some A&R work after this? I'm kind of pumped.
Yeah, dude. Are you?
Show me the ropes.
Yeah, I'll show you, you know, kind of what goes into it. Honestly, is this going to be on the podcast?
The video?
No, I'm talking about this conversation.
Yeah, this part right here.
Cool.
Yeah. Give your Instagram a shout out right now.
Yeah. If you all want to go follow me, please do. It's Reigns_Edenfield.
Reigns_Edenfield.
It'd be cool.
Shoot him a DM if you have any questions about the music industry. That would be cool, dude. If you get like some connections from the pod.
That'd be dope.
From the pod. That'd be dope. That'd be sick.
That'd be awesome.
Y'all can hit me up on Instagram too, at Cabe, C-A-B-E, Kelly Wyatt. Cabe Kelly Wyatt. I just changed my Instagram profile picture. It's a picture of me and Audie by the bonfire. It's a great pick. That was a great night.
Dude.
Oh, dude, I love that guy. We need to get you and Audie on one at the same time.
I would love to.
Audie's been trying to get on the pod for forever.
Like, me too. Honestly. And it's taken a couple months.
I kind of feel bad because Lakota, like, he always wants to bring his friends on too. And like, they just, I don't know. One guy was supposed to be on and it like fell through. I've had like three different people now.
I love talking in a podcast. And I wish I had some friends on here actually.
Yeah.
Like you always want to
just get on and shoot the shit, dude.
Yeah, you're good friends. On and talk.
About okay, that. I'm back.
Welcome.
We just gave a quick.
Oh shit! It's a fire alarm. My wife's cooking steaks. I don't know if that's a good sign.
Dude, this is live. This is uninterrupted live dude, television. That's what
it's
for. Right,
it's the good thing about being on the pod. All right, so
yeah. So hold on. Actually, to talk about that. I don't edit any of this.
No, that's
what I do.
He was asking if when you were gone, if that was going to be on. We were just
I didn't know if you like cut that out or make edits in a logic.
There's been one edit, and it's because I said something very, 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 very inappropriate on the first time I got on the pod.
Yes,
I wouldn't expect anything less.
I still have the voice clip. I'll show it to you. It's funny.
I don't know what came out of your mouth.
I was severely inebriated.
Okay, yeah.
I think that was the same podcast that he pissed in the bottle.
No, that was a different one. Golly, dude. Man, I remember peeing in the bottle.
You thought you muted the microphone.
I didn't. Like, dude, I turned the gain all the way down and muted myself, and I was pissing in a bottle, and he was like, "Are you peeing?" And I was like, shit.
Why didn't you just get up?
Because we were in the middle of a conversation. And I had to
get like that. It's like a 3-hour podcast. I don't even know if we ever published that
one. I don't think we published that one because you were taught. Oh, dude.
We were so fucked up.
You called
both of us were drunk.
You called me the next day and you were like, yo, I just listened back to like the second half of that pod and we do not need to put it out. There was some really bad stuff on there.
We were so fucked up. Shit. You were drunk before we started. Oh, yeah. I progressively got worse over that 3-hour span.
That was right after I moved into the house and we were like, we would wake up at like 9 and like start doing yard work and I would be drunk. Like we would drink all day and we didn't do the pod until like 4:30. So it was late and I was definitely feeling it. But
summer 2020.
Summer 20, baby. It sucked for what, but it was good for what it was. But.
Right. So what were you guys talking about?
Zach, we want to get into Zach Seabaugh, Reigns' roommate / musician artist that he manages, a handsome stallion, hell of a guy. What is Zach up to as of soon, Reigns? Are you even allowed to talk about this?
Yeah, dude, we're not signed to anything.
Okay.
We should be allowed to say, honestly, whatever. But
yeah, I just didn't know if he would care.
No, I'll go into it to a certain degree, but the way I got my job at River House was through an artist that I met, started working with, doing live shows, and then it turned into a management thing that we've kind of worked upon and expanded.
I helped you with that
in the past year and a half.
Just FYI, I did.
Yeah. How'd you help me?
You were like, hey, if you know anybody in college fraternities, please help me book. And I got a bunch of people and you never booked with any of them.
It was hard, man. Anyway, so I'll get into it, but I met this guy, this artist, who he was on The Voice and had a couple things going in a good direction a couple years ago. But he was from Georgia too, so we just started talking one day, I'm sure, in class at MTSU, and then we started working together. But we've worked together for a year and a half now, which seems kind of weird. It started with him playing a fraternity show at Georgia back last spring. And then it going well, and I was like, well, why don't you go and do that at all the other fraternity parties around the South?
Last spring, he means spring 2019, not
2020. Yeah, we didn't do it till the fall, but this was in the spring when I met him. And I was like, well, if you enjoyed playing this Georgia fraternity show in the spring, like, why don't you do it in the fall with football and try to book
make cool a tour
shows? Yeah, in my opinion, I thought it would be this big old tour thing, and like I had this big old dream for it. And it turned out really cool, and it's – it taught me the things to help me get my job. And we still work together. And it's one of the things that takes majority of my time is management and live management for Zach. But it's been really cool to kind of go from just doing it live coordination of shows we're playing to management now. But he's got some stuff coming out here pretty recently. He hasn't put out a ton of music. Yeah, pretty soon. And that's a couple months.
Very, very, very good songs. I got the sneak peek last week.
I sure hope. They sound good to me.
When are we going to be able to hear them?
First one should drop here. It should be coming within the next couple months. So you can find Zach anywhere at Zach Seaball, whether that be Instagram.
S-E-A-B-A-U-H.
Wherever. Yeah, put it in the chat so I can. I'll tag him. I'll tag him in the notes, in the description of the podcast.
For sure. He was – he on The Voice was pushed to do country and did country for a while. Realized he didn't want to do country whenever we started talking. And then this whole time we worked together, he's kind of been finding his – you know, what he wants to say as an artist a little bit older now. He was 16 when he was on The Voice. So, you know, when you're 16 and have that much, you know, people look at you at one time, you start to question whether it's authentic or not. And, you know, fell into making music that he says wasn't really what he wanted to do at the time. He just kind of did it because it was working and just has grown up. So it's been cool to work with him over the past year and a half. And
What genre is he then? Does he consider himself just a songwriter?
Sure. Like, it's definitely more singer-songwriter. The melodies are more pop-driven. Honestly, kind of the best way I can describe what we're going, you know, what the music sounds like, it's coming that, you know, nobody's really heard yet. It's like a Jack Johnson melody style mixed in with this type of singer-songwriter, simple chord.
Fuck yeah.
You know,
some like Jack Johnson, tallest man on earth kind of shit.
Yeah, but it's not beachy. It's, if anything, more mountain-driven. Like, it's honestly songs just about life and growing up and just kind
falling in love.
Yeah, you know.
It's great, man. Songs that, they're great. Great songs.
People still do that? People still fall in love?
Yeah, I fell in love with Reigns.
Hey, here we are 2 years later.
Oh,
yeah, no homo.
Man, I thought 2020 would have put a squash to that, like that whole situation.
2020 has been wild. 2020 has been the weirdest. Well, it's been the weirdest year of everybody's life. But I've had so many things happen in 2020 that have been positive, and both negative in certain ways. But the positives from this year are overwhelming because I've kind of been able to look back over this past couple weeks, as like we're in December now, the year's almost over, and see how much things are different compared to even in, you know, February or where we were a year ago. Like, I've, you know, it's just been really cool, really weird to see.
It's been an interesting
year. It's been interesting.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, at the beginning of this year, I was still living in Laredo, Texas.
Vivint at the beginning of this year.
I mean, like everybody.
You were living in Laredo selling Vivint, about to become a Border Patrol agent. Then you quit that, started working for Domino's, and then all of a sudden you're in Vancouver, Washington. Dude, like, that's a big change, man.
I moved to Nashville for the first time this year. I still have a year left.
I'm still mad at you about that, honestly.
Well,
you went to what?
Rain sold his guitar so that he could pay rent.
Dude, I did. Nobody knows this. No, other than like Zach and some other people.
What, was I not supposed to say that?
No, that's totally fine. I made an impromptu decision to move to Nashville in July because I was coming up on my last year of school. I'll graduate a year early, which is cool, and I'm thankful for it. But I didn't have any classes with COVID on campus, and I had knocked out a majority of my required music and minor classes before. So I didn't, you know, my time would be rather spent, which is what I've done this entire semester and I'll do it in the spring, just going to work and like working at River House and working production company and working management and just doing school at night. But yeah, it's honestly just been weird.
So you moved to Nashville.
He moved from Murfreesboro to Nashville. Murfreesboro's 45 south.
Good for you, man.
So I didn't have,
that's where the action's at.
For sure. I didn't have my job at River House. I you know, me and Zach were working about the same level we're working at now, because again, it went from live management and just live, you know, show coordination to overall management here recently within the past 6 months. So like, it was honestly a chance that we had within like a 2 week window. And then I didn't realize that you pay security deposits. I've only lived at two other houses and those houses didn't require security deposits. I had no earthly idea, dude. I've learned so much this year just from growing up. And
he's growing. He's learning.
And anyway, so I had no idea of a security deposit. And I paid my lease at my other Murfreesboro house right beside the college for 2 months into this one. And I called my parents like when I had the chance. We were talking about it because they still helped me out a little bit, which is really cool. and I moved within a week, and like I had just enough money because I was paying two rents to pay like and be okay, but I had just enough to pay the two rents and be fine for June and July. And then all of a sudden I hear about this $600, you know, deposit that you're having to pay for security reasons that I had.
$600?
Yeah, it was
$600. I paid $1,800 for this apartment.
Okay, well.
That was just the deposit.
For sure. It was only that cheap because I had roommates.
Shit's nuts. Yeah, shit's nuts.
And I was like, well, crap, what do I do? And I pawned off my guitar like the next day to pay my security deposit.
Was it like a Gibson or?
No, it was a Martin. It was a nice guitar, actually. I got it when I was like 16 and just started playing guitar. And like, it was my first guitar I spent a lot of money on. So my thing is like the first day I'm hired full time and whatever I end up doing music related, I'm going to go and buy a brand new guitar on that first day that I get hired on full time.
I cannot wait till that day. I'm going with you.
I'm so excited. But yeah, I don't really tell a ton of people that, but that's what happened.
You got to do what you got to do.
Dude, man. And like, honestly, you can't win if you're not present. And if I think people don't take enough chances in life, honestly, to reach what they could have reached if they
would have taken the leap. Yeah,
if they just didn't do it.
Yeah.
It's true. I literally left on a whim to move up here. Left my wife back in Laredo. Like, hey, we'll save up money. We'll get a place. We'll move you up.
I sure hope you would just left in general. Like, hey, I'm out. This is over.
No, I could never do that. Now my wife is amazing. I honestly would not know what to do with my life without her.
Yeah.
But she, but I was like, she's like, do you think this will be good for us? I'm like, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Because I was making like decent money with Vivint, but it was just so like on and off.
For sure.
That like, it wasn't sustainable.
Coffee cup. Oh, sorry. I moved my
And then Domino's was soul sucking. I'm like almost embarrassed to say that I ever worked at Domino's.
Hey, dude.
But it paid the bills.
That's right.
It was a job and it paid the bills. So, and the people that I worked with were like, you know, for the most part were great. They were fun.
You learn more at those jobs than you do at your big jobs anyway about life and how to.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. How much you don't want to deliver
pizzas.
Exactly.
It makes you work hard for what you want to do. Yeah.
You know, now I'm, you know, assisting with building a hospital, which is fucking dope.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But anyways, guys, I think my steaks are done. So.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Is there anything else we want to go over?
Big fan of this one, honestly. This has been 10 out of 10.
Cool. I deeply appreciate it, boys. It was fun.
This is not the last time you'll be able to.
A pleasure, dude. Yeah. I sit down and have these conversations with Cabe more often than not. So it's cool to have you. I appreciate the invite. Sincerely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, dude. You're a cool ass dude. It was nice meeting you. Well, is there anything you want to plug before we get off of here?
Plug myself, I guess. Follow me again. I threw out my Instagram a second ago. Go be homies with me. Follow me.
Shout it out again.
@Orains_Edenfield. Follow Zach Seaball if you want to. That's the artist I manage. Follow either of us for anything if you want to hear new music, and
follow both of them.
Yeah, follow these two cool dudes. I'm sure you do if you follow this podcast. These are some homies as well. So
Riverhouse Artists got to get a
Riverhouse
shout out.
If you want to follow anything we do with that job, and it's fun time.
Yes, sir.
Fuck yeah. Well, guys, I'm gonna go eat some steak.
Dude, enjoy it.
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah. Deuces.
Y'all be safe, everybody. Wear your seatbelt and use your turn signals now.
Oh, yeah. And fill up that light bulb fluid.
Fill up your light bulb fluid. Don't forget about it.
Is that something about the podcast?
No, we just made that up today.
Oh, okay.
And it's probably going to keep going.
Because I'm pretty sure there's a light bulb on this cover art. Is there not?
There is.
See? Look at that.
It's a microphone.
It's a microphone.
Dang, I was so close.
It's like a beer mug microphone.
Yeah, but it looks like a light from where I'm
It kind of does.
Kind of, it could be both. All right, I'm stopping it here. Hey guys, that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for joining Cabe and I today. I hope you all enjoyed. If you did, then be sure to rate us on Apple Podcasts and or share this episode with your friends and family. It really helps us grow in the charts. And if you're a super duper big fan, and you have some extra change laying around, then click on the support link below in the description box, and you can donate to this podcast directly. Whether it be $1 a month, $5 a month, or $10 a month, everything helps. We want to turn this little podcast one day into a full-time career, and you can help us do that. We would also love to hear from you all. Give us feedback on what you want us to talk about and or how we can improve the show. We will be back next week with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.